Sports Fat. 1700, The Champ.
Good afternoon. Welcome in once again. The Drive is on the air. 1700, The Champ. Trent and Wolfgang with you on a Monday afternoon, getting you home. And Wolfgang, well, we got plenty of NFL certainly to talk about here as Monday Night Football comes up. Week number 9 just about in the books. The Bears, the Vikings, the Chiefs all with victories. The Packers on the wrong side of thing against the Patriots and a whole lot more. Iowa State with a nice victory going on the road and just dominating Kansas. Doing what you're supposed to as a good football team. And that's what the Cyclones do. And, well, I guess there was one other thing we probably should touch on a little bit today. The Iowa Hawkeyes take a loss on the road. Once again, this time at the hands of Purdue. We'll get into all that. Tom Caker from HawkeyeReport.com. He'll be joining us at about 4:20. Alex Halstead on the Cyclones at 4:40 in the 5 o'clock hour. Zuba Mahente from ESPN will be our guest. Wolfgang, weekend in the books. You ready to make your way through another week with a Hawkeye loss?
I am. That's tough to watch. You watch it live. You watch it with friends, family. You watch it with strangers. You watch it with, you know, waiters and waitresses. And everybody's got a different opinion. And you get mad. And then you go, ooh, we still got a shot. Iowa still got a shot. Or whoever you're watching. So it's fun. But sometimes you say things and you go, yeah. But pretty much everybody was fairly calm, Trent. But it's fun watching it with other people. I don't know if you normally do that. Obviously, you go to Kinnick, mm-hmm. so you watch the games with your friends or whoever, your wife and all your buddies. But to me, I do like to do that because I always watch the Iowa game twice, and I like to just see how people are reacting. Are they getting, like, totally crazy mad? Are they staying positive? Are they 100% negative? Do they, you know, call for the coach's firing? Are they rolling their eyes and huffing and puffing over Stanley? And let me tell you, everybody I'm around does that. Every single incompletion the guy has. And I feel like I have something to do with that, Trent. I don't like myself for that. I don't think it's because any of us think he sucks, because he doesn't suck. He absolutely does not suck. And there's a latest mock draft that had him 33rd. You know, he's not, it was 38th, I believe.
Okay.
So he's not 23rd anymore. But we're all kind of still rolling our eyes at that. And I think that that has completely ruined all of our opinions of him. We can't just look at him as, dude's a nice quarterback. Kind of cool to have this guy as our quarterback, this kid. Tons of potential, tons of ceiling there. No, instead we go, oh, look at you, Nathan Stanley. You're going to be making millions and millions of dollars. Oh, you incomplete a pass? Incomplete pass, really? You can't do that? And everybody that I'm with, and I'm speaking for friends and family, and I'm even talking about myself to the point where I want to put like duct tape over my lips and mouth and quit rolling my eyes because I roll my eyes sometimes when I watch him. And guess whose fault it wasn't this weekend? It wasn't Nathan Stanley's fault. Could he have done better? Yes. Should he have done better? Yes. Were we going against a crap passing defense in the Purdue Boilermakers, our biggest and dirtiest and most fiercest rival? Yes, we were. But it wasn't his fault. It was the defense. And that's I'm not used to really seeing that very often, Trent.
It was a game that, well, look at it three different ways. The Wisconsin game, special teams gaffes really cost them that game. With the punt that went off the leg of Sean Beyer and the punt at the end of the first half that was fumbled by Kyle Gronewig. Mm-hmm. The Penn State game last week, it was all about the offense and the problems. And this one, you chalk it up to the defense. It's not one single thing that you look at this Iowa football team.
Now, we're well-rounded in a bad way.
Yeah, but everybody has had their own part of screwing things up. This is a talented Iowa football team. This is a good Iowa football team. But to go from good to great, you have to find a way to win close games. I can take you back a couple of different times. A couple of things where if you want to be hopeful, and remember last week I was hopeful, Wolfgang, even after that loss to Penn State, I was hopeful for this team because I see the talent that is there. And if you want to be hopeful, point to two seasons, 2001 and 2008. Both decent years, both pretty good years, but in both of those years, they lost a lot of close football games. Now, we know what happened afterwards, 2002, Orange Bowl year, they go on. Same thing in 2009, go on and win the Orange Bowl that season. 02 had a Big Ten championship. If you want to take the positive route, they had nice teams that had some offensive firepower, did some good things, but could never quite get over the hump. Lost so many close games. You can make that equation. Now, the other side is maybe it's more like 2010. Lose a bunch of close games, and then It falls out, the bottom falls out the following season. You don't hope that's what's going to happen from the Iowa perspective, but there are two realities to look at when you're going down the historical context. I believe it's closer to 01 or 08. I think this team is close. But how do you build that bridge? How do you fill in the gaps here where Iowa has been close, but they haven't been able to do it? Do you just go down the simpleton route and say, well, it's just because of the officials. You know, the officials screwed us again. I don't want to do that. I think that is too easy because you know what? Purdue, if they would have lost that game, they could have said the same kind of things. They could have pointed to a pass interference that wasn't called in the end zone. They could have called that fair catch interference that was called against Purdue, where Kyle Groenewig did not get his hand up in time. There, any game you look at, you can blame officials. It's a loser's way out. And I was incredibly disappointed. Even as upset as Kirk Ferentz was afterwards, I was disappointed that Kirk Ferentz pointed the blame at the officials. That is his opening statement as he went that direction. Because, yes, Noah Fant was held. Yes, Julius Brents, there are times where that isn't called. I don't agree with the people that think that there was some injustice on that call. He was grabbing the guy's jersey. That's pass interference. You know what I do have a problem with, though? Kirk Ferentz going for 2 points with 9.5 minutes left in the third quarter. That is dumb coaching. There is no excuse for that. In a game that is 28-23 at the time, where you know there's still going to be more points, you don't chase points early in the third quarter. That's on the coach. Don't blame the officials for that. They didn't make you go for two there. Kirk, take a little responsibility for that. That's what I got a problem with.
Okay, it's interesting. I like the fact that, I think players, I want them to always say that they're not going to blame the coaches. And I saw some former players tweeting out stuff and saying this and that, and I respect that. I mean, you don't want every single time after a game is over for a player to say, yeah, we got screwed. You know, we all have people like that in our life. Ah, yeah, that didn't happen because of this or because we got screwed. We all know people like that. All calls are not equal, Trent. When there are touchdowns and or two-point conversions, and when so we had a touchdown. Iowa had a touchdown with Riley Moss. So what did you think about that one? So that was a touchdown right now that they got. So that's 7 points right there. You can look at that and go, that's pass interference. So, I mean, you can do any single call like that you ever want to and go, well, it could have been called that way. It could have been called that way. It's tough to say. The other one where Brian Ferentz, I don't know if you saw this, Brian Ferentz went absolutely cray-cray with the Fant, where they held Fant.
And we know Brian Ferentz is emotionally unstable. Is that fair?
Oh, I wouldn't go that far, but...
I mean, you don't hear of many offensive coordinators that are going after officials in a press box, right?
Oh, you're talking about... Oh, okay.
So, he wears his emotions on the sleeve. I'll put it nicely.
That's fine with me. This is... Okay, I understand what you're saying. I don't want any Bobby Knight, but I don't. Anyway, so that's fine. I understand that. Yes, he's emotionally involved. He cares. There's no doubt. Looking down at him on the sideline, he cares. And he cares a lot, and I'll take that any day. Those are points. That's seven that went against Riley Moss that you could easily replay that if you want to do that, Trent. And that's points. That's not a 15-yard penalty. That's points that they scored that put on the scoreboard. Then you talk about the Fant call. Possibly 2 points is why Iowa lost. Then you look at the Brents call. Possibly could have gone either way. If you want to go hardcore that they got it right, I'm not going to go with you there. If you want to go, it could have gone either way.
He pulled his jersey.
So if you want to watch a game with me, I will show you and we will rewind that where it's not called all the time.
Well, I understand that. It's judgment calls. This is any sport. This is what I get into. This is loser talk. This is what teams that are disappointing, these are the conversations that you had. But how about we talk about things I think that are more relevant than blaming the officials for the loss. You gave up 38 points. You had a guy that you played for 3 quarters that was continually getting beat. You had a coaching staff for the second year in a row with Jeff Brohm at Purdue. They found a matchup, and they exploited it, and they won the football game. Isn't that what you want out of your coaching staff? To find the mismatches and exploit them, and until they're going to do something, actually do something about it? That's what I want to see out of a coaching staff. Find what the weakness is and go after it. That's what Purdue's done, and now Purdue's 2-0 under Jeff Brohm under Iowa. Iowa, they're on the backside of it, right? They're looking up at Purdue now. Purdue, their coaching staff has shown an ability in those two football games to get the most out of their players and win it. And what does Iowa have? They got an 0-2 mark against the hated rival, the Purdue Boilermakers. Give me Jeff Brohm and his staff.
Oh, jeez. You are negative, man. I thought I was going to go off. I won't go off like that. No, I will not go off like that. Eventually, things will turn around. Iowa will get their system. That's not
normal. Get their system. They've been there for 20 years.
Well, I mean, there's intricacies, if you will, that our defense, I'm not going to bash Parker. I'm not going to bash him. He's been the reason Iowa has been good for over and over for so many years. Phil and the other, what's his name? Norm, for crying out loud, who is a great defensive coordinator. Our offense actually semi got it done.
Mm-hmm.
Semi got it done. But yes, if you don't want to bring up the reffing, I understand that. I know that's not your thing.
No.
But every single call is not equal, and that's 7, 14, possibly 16 points.
There's 135 plays in that game. 135
not all calls
plays.
Are equal. And I will never, if you want to say that Brent's call was right because he was holding his jersey, and I'll show you 100 other on a Saturday where that's not called, or it's called the other way. I'll show you 100. If you don't want to focus on that, I will 100%
okay,
get that.
Okay, do you want me to take the Purdue perspective then?
I thought that's what you were doing.
Because they got screwed on calls, too.
I'm talking points.
It happens both
I'm
ways.
I'm talking points. Yeah. I'm not talking about a 5-yard penalty.
On the fair catch interference, you know what? Iowa got great field position, and they scored a touchdown. Dun-dun-dun. I mean, come
on. It's fun to do a show in West Lafayette, man. I appreciate you having me.
Well, I don't want to be Hawkeye fanboy here.
No fanboy. I'm saying not all calls okay. are legal.
Go ahead. Officials for the Iowa loss. It's never on Iowa.
So you don't
it's
do
all
it.
Nope. It's all on everybody else.
Who
but
said
Iowa
that?
Can never accept
who
the blame.
Who said that?
Well, that when you're blaming the officials, that's what it is.
Who said it? I said there were certain calls that are not equal. That's all I'm saying. I'm not going to blame it. I want the players and coaches, if that's what you want me to say, to not bring that up. I agree 100%. But if you feel like you're getting jacked, I want you to stick up for your team. I do. And when points are, it's not like, oh, it's a 15-yard penalty and Iowa got better field position, meaning they could, I mean, I'm not talking about that. We can do that for days. I'm talking possibly 16-point swing. And I don't think that's far-fetched. I think that Brent's thing could go either way, the Moss thing, he pushed off, whether you call it or not, fine, mm-hmm. if you agree.
And if you watch college football all day long, how many offensive pass interference do you see on a play like that? Once every month? On a play like that, that wasn't egregious, once a month you'll see an offensive pass interference there. Wolfgang, you watch enough football. They don't call offensive pass interference on that play. You know that. Well, is it right? Is it wrong? No, but it's the reality.
Then Iowa needs to start doing that more then. If that's
legal. Yeah, I agree.
If that's legal, then, and I'm not necessarily disagreeing with you, but again, it's real easy to watch stuff in super slow-mo and go, yeah, they got the right call there, and then I could show you 100 where they didn't call it. That's the thing that drives me crazy with the refereeing. And again, I don't want this to be like this. This isn't your thing, so you could take time off, and I'll just bitch and complain, and you don't need to be that guy because nobody else talks about it. I'm a fan. I will always consider myself a fan. Is that the reason I lost? I'm not going to say it is. I'm not going to say it's not. I would say, and I agree with the players, I don't want them doing that. I want them to stick to what they need to get better at, and I agree with you. Two of those calls were 50-50. The Fant wasn't. And so, yeah. I will always agree that one or two plays could have made a difference one way or another. If you're going to say, well, Purdue got screwed on a 15-yard penalty that wasn't a holding call and it got Iowa better field position, I will not disagree. But I don't think all penalties are the same, also depending on what time they are. I will say that. And I will stick to that.
Here's my concern. If it's just laying blame at the feet of the officials, it's not laying it where I think it needs to go. And this team, they're too talented to be 6-3 right now. And the season's not over. And if they lose one of these remaining three games, you saw the point spread. I was a 10-point favorite against Northwestern. Illinois, even on the road, they're going to be a big favorite in Nebraska. But we've seen too many times where Iowa's been at a point like this, and then they stubbed their toe and finished 7-5. If this team goes 9-3, it'll be a frustrating year still all told, but at least they got off the mat. How does this Iowa team respond? I don't know. I mean, going into last week, they still had the Big Ten West. They still had the Big Ten Championship. Goals were still in front of this football team. Now those goals, for all intents and purposes, are off the table. How do they get off the mat? I think it's going to be something scary to look at. We're going to talk to Tom Kaker coming up next. We'll get his perspective on things. He said the chart said go for two, even with 9:33 left in the third quarter. Go for two at 28-23. I'm going to get into that with Tom. I'm in a cranky mood today. I'm yelled at Wolfgang. I'm going to yell at Kakert next.
We're disagreeing, but we're not hardcore disagreeing as much as you think.
There will be no fisticuffs during the break, at least I hope, because that'll go poorly for me. We're coming back more on The Drive on 1700 The Champ.
Live play-by-play coverage of every NFL primetime game right here. 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
It's green, moron.
Come on, move it, you clowns.
1700 The Champ. Right now, traffic.
Right now we have a couple of accidents. First of all, we have one on Madison at 39th. And then police are still working that crash on I-235 going westbound at the West Mixer. Also, we have a stalled vehicle on I-235 going westbound at Valley West Drive. And that's your look at traffic. Other routes are looking pretty good right now and things are moving smooth. Drive safe, Des Moines, and have a great afternoon.
This report is sponsored by the Exogen Temporal Scanner Thermometer. Ready for a bad cold and flu season? Knowing when it's the flu can make a big difference in knowing when to call your doctor. The best way to tell is that the flu brings a fever, so be prepared with a thermometer you can trust. The Exogen Temporal Scanner, backed by more than 70 clinical studies.
Everyone is a champion in their own way, but aches and pains can make you want to give up on your training or workouts. Instead of relying on pain medication to power through, stay active with help from Champions Recovery Room and Physical Therapy. They give you a personal touch to work towards your own wellness goals. With athletic recovery programs to outpatient orthopedic therapy, Angela Spencer PT of Champions Recovery Room will get you feeling your best. Champions Recovery Room and Physical Therapy, 3030 100th Street in Urbandale, and online at championsrecoveryroom.com.
My number two does not look like a number two. I don't know what to call it. Is there a number three?
Table for four, please. Anything close to the restroom.
Ugh, a middle seat with these stomach problems? That's my fear of flying.
Sound like you? If it does, you could be one of the many people with a digestive condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. Even if you don't know what EPI is, you might know the symptoms. Frequent diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain. If you have even just one of these symptoms, you could still have EPI, because not everybody experiences EPI the same way, which is why it's so important to open up to your doctor about all your symptoms. And the good news is, EPI is manageable, so don't keep a lid on it. Go to identifyepi.com, complete the symptom checker, and use it to have a conversation with your doctor. Don't keep a lid on it. Visit identifyepi.com, brought to you by AbbVie.
Did you know that a well-insulated garage door can keep your garage warmer in the winter? At Advanced Door Systems of Ankeny, we can help you find the garage door that not only has a high R value, but looks great also. Visit our website, ads-doors.com. That's ads-doors.com to learn more about garage door options and styles available from Rainer and CHI. Then contact us for a free quote. Advanced Door Systems, the right door, the right way.
This year, it's our year.
No. This year, it's my team.
Yeah, this is the year.
This season, everyone is going to know where I'm tailgating.
My team, my colors, my flag.
Hello, it's why I fly the flag.
This is the year you fly the colors of your favorite team. And you'll find those colors at Heartland Flagpoles and Flags. The largest selection of team flags anywhere. Every team, every sport, every flag. Almost. Buy online and get free shipping. HeartlandFlags.com.
Are you interested in starting a new franchise? You can find a lawyer right here in the state of Iowa to help with your franchise law needs. Rush Niggett with Brick Gentry Law PC provides law services for those involved in starting a new franchise. Find more information online at rushonbusiness.com, where Rush Niggett can assist you in buying or starting a new franchise. A presenting sponsor of the 2018 high school football season on 1700 KBGG. Brick Gentry Law PC and Rush Niggett.
At Wolf Construction, we do many large construction projects across the Midwest, but we started as a roofing company and we're still a roofing company today. At Wolf Construction, we believe in honest work, a fair price, and work we stand behind. And our 10-year workmanship warranty proves it. We know roofing. With our one-day get-it-done approach, we're known as a roofing machine. Call Wolf Construction for a free estimate at 515-225-8866 or visit us on the web at wolfconstruction.net. At Wolf Construction, we take your roof personally.
Does overpaying for something make sense? We don't think it does at Charterhouse Real Estate. That is why we have completely changed the commission structure at our real estate firm from what you are used to hearing about. Gone are the days of 6 or 7% to sell your home. We charge $24.95 plus 3%. Don't worry if that sounds a bit odd. Just know that on average, our sellers save thousands in real estate commission when they sell their home with us. The best part is our sellers still get full service, including social media marketing, their home on the MLS, a dedicated agent, and much more. Head to charterhouseiowa.com and use our calculator there to see what your savings could be. We are Charterhouse Real Estate, and we are changing the way you think about selling your home.
Charterhouse Real Estate is a team office under Space Simply.
Vehicle advertising print wraps can be seen tens of thousands of times a day. If you want to increase your advertising footprint with a full or partial vinyl print wrap on your business vehicle, go to CompleteAutoWraps.com. Complete Auto Wraps also specializes in full color change color wraps. Change the color of your vehicle or add a customized look with a print wrap to your vehicle, motorcycle, or boat. Don't pay big dealership or national sign chain prices when you can get yours installed by a professional trained and certified installer. Contact Corby for more information or a free estimate at CompleteAutoWraps.com.
The Drive with Wolfgang and Trent Condon. Real sports talk for real sports fans. 1700 The Champ.
Back with you on a rainy, grumpy Monday afternoon. Wolfgang, I continued my diatribe against him for the last 5 minutes. He's just been sitting here taking it. And now we're ready for my angst. It's Tom Caker from HawkeyeReport.com. What's happening, Tom?
Cart says go for two. Trent.
Oh, here we go. Here we go. He's coming in hot. All right, Caker, put down the gloves. Let's go. All right. 9:30.
I thought it was a dumb decision. I just like tweaking you about the
card.
That's the Bielema line. You got to remember that's the Bielema line that he used when they went. He was up by about 70 points against Minnesota and Tim Brewster, and he asked him after the game, "Why'd you go for two when you're up by about 70?" And he goes, "Card said go for two."
Tom, that decision with 9:33 left. If it was a low scoring affair, maybe you can explain it. But take us in. I know the question was asked in the press conference, and I read the transcript of it. But take it back. Was it contentious at all? Was Kirk kind of matter of a fact about it? He said he expected the game to get into the 40s, and they just wanted to get points. But I mean, that's even less reason to start going for two that early if you think the game's going to go in. Take us to that decision. Just a head scratcher.
He was fine with it. Very matter of fact about it. Here's where his logic falls apart, though. What did they do after the next touchdown? They went for an extra point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if points were just that paramount at that point in the game, wouldn't you just continue to go for two every time you scored?
I would think so. So okay. Well, at least we got this out of the way.
If it was just about points, then why wouldn't you go for two at that point? That's where I come down on it.
Yep. I think a very simple equation, and one that I think we're going to be scratching our heads about for a very long time. Defensively, you know, I said early in the show today, Tom, you can point to the special teams, the Wisconsin game, kind of pin it on them for the L. You can look at the offense, the Penn State game, pin it on them. Here, the defense, I think, gets a lot of the angst. Purdue, the thing that I was most baffled about, of course, Blau got it out quickly. That's what he does. But when he was taking shots, where was that offensive the Iowa defensive line, that vaunted defensive line, applying some pressure? Purdue was playing without their starting left tackle, and they did very little getting to Blau when he actually was taking, you know, a five-step trot. What was going on up front?
They just kind of max protected him, and they did a really good job. You know what I've come away from the two meetings with Jeff Brohm is he's, I think, living rent free in Phil Parker's head a little bit right now.
Yeah.
And he's kind of owned Phil in third quarters of games.
Yes.
Remember last year, the two touchdown passes, and they went right at Riley Moss early in the third quarter and got a long touchdown. And the next time they got the ball, first thing he did was look that direction, and there was safety help that time, so they went elsewhere. But yeah, they're just, I mean, I think Brohm just, I think he's really, really good. And the Big Ten West might want to hope that Brohm gets a massive offer from Louisville.
Come on, Papa John, pay that money.
Yeah, Tom, you want to start a fund right now with me? I got $2 if you got $2, Tom.
We'll do it right now. I mean, get him out of the Big Ten West and let him move on to someplace else, because he's really good. And can't say that enough. Just really good coach.
Tom, in all honesty, where do you see this Purdue-Iowa game going in the future if he does not leave for Louisville? I don't think he is. I don't have, obviously, any inside information on that. Where do you see this Iowa? Like you say, he's in Phil Parker's head. That scares me a little bit, Tom.
Yeah, and he's done really well against Iowa the last 2 years. I mean, they've won games on just dissecting the secondary, and Iowa just hasn't been able to react to it. And I don't know where the rivalry goes. I mean, it's just, you know, they are a hated rival, of course. So, you know, we've got to always qualify that Purdue is a big rival. I just think Iowa's got to figure out a way to kind of get some help with some of those cornerbacks, but he seems to be able to figure out what Iowa's doing right away. And he finds that one-on-one matchup, runs fly routes, and it's all over.
So the fly routes, and of course on the back end of a lot of those was Riley Moss, and we've seen Moss be able to bounce back a couple of different times and make some plays in the game. On the other side, though, Julius Brents struggled himself, and that's something we hadn't seen a whole lot of. Matt Hankins, where is he? I saw he was on the two deep release today. Hankins going to be back out there Saturday against Northwestern, in your mind?
I think there's a potential for that. We'll probably get a better idea of where Kirk's sitting with them, but I would suspect that we're going to see Moss and Brent start the game, and if either of them struggle, I think he'll be a little more. Phil Parker's probably going to be a little more Sparky Anderson, Captain Hook. He's just going to get him out of there and try and find other answers, like they did Saturday. They pulled Moss at one point in the game and. Towards the end of the game, and put Ojemudia back there, and he wasn't much better. But, you know, they've got to shore that up. Now, Moss had been really good since that really kind of first half against Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's been really good, and Brents had been really good too. And the tackling was not very good either. Brents, I know, really struggled tackling. So that was kind of their first misstep. And I know why, and everybody's kind of banging on Moss, and it's, you know, has more to do with his skin pigmentation than it does his athletic ability. But, and that's fine. But, you know, I think he'll bounce back. I think he'll be fine. And just remember, these guys are true freshmen. You know, they're right, as Norm Parker used to say, riding a yellow school bus a year ago at this time. So just keep that in mind.
Yeah, Tom, do you have an opinion of how this team will respond? Obviously, basically, their big dreams are kind of gone right now. That doesn't mean they can't have a good season, go to a good bowl, finish in the top 20. But certain teams you see respond, and those are the kind of teams I like. I would assume they're going to respond well. What do you think, Tom?
That was my biggest concern Saturday night after the game, was that Kirk specifically, more than the players, but the players also had that look to, like, boy, these last 2 weeks have been complete gut punches, and where do we go from here kind of look. And Kirk just seemed really down, because I've thought for a while that Kirk thought this team was really good and could play for a Big Ten championship, and now that's out the window. In the last 2 weeks, lose games in the last minute of the game just on, you know, bad plays and questionable plays in the case of Saturday. I think a couple of holding calls. One of them really bad call and a questionable pass interference call on a second 18 play that I don't know that if that's pass interference, they should call it every down, every time there's a pass play, because that goes on every time. But I'm, you know, the players just kind of seemed more distant than normal after a loss. Just, I think the last 2 weeks have been really tough on them psychologically, and it's going to be a real test for that one game at a time, one day at a time mentality that Iowa always has.
Tom, let's get into a little bit of basketball as we turn the page. And well, years it's easier to turn, but with the great unknown as this Iowa basketball team, maybe it's going to be a little bit more difficult to do that. You got to see them yesterday in their exhibition game. Again, Guilford, I don't think we're learning a whole lot here, and probably not going to learn a whole lot against UMKC or Green Bay in the first two games before they go out to NYC and take on Oregon. But what did you see? Any positives, negatives, your takeaway from yesterday?
Guilford was really bad.
Okay.
It was really bad. But I just liked seeing them get out there and play a little bit. Like you said, we're not going to learn a whole lot. I think maybe Green Bay will give them a little bit of a push at some points in time. And, you know, it's not going to be a 30-point game, I don't think, if it is. And I think we've got something more positive to talk about. But I did like what Joe Wieskamp did. He is as advertised, and I've been saying that for a long time. Mm-hmm. He's steady. You know what you're going to get every time out with Joe. The shot might not fall every night because nobody's that good, but I think he's just going to be a terrific basketball player the next 4 years. I loved that Tyler Cook was more willing to pass the ball, and he only had one turnover and 7 assists. I think that's a real positive. Luka Garza is probably struggling a little bit with his wind right now. He's got to get back into game shape, and that's to be expected. But I really like what I saw. And keeping in mind that your best shooter was sitting in a suit and tie yesterday, and he'll hopefully be back on Thursday night for the opener.
What is that injury? I saw it was listed as a bruise. Do you know where the bruise is?
I kind of do, but it's more of a leg bruise, I guess.
Okay.
Mid torso bruise is what I will say, and you can kind of narrow it down from there.
Uh-huh.
But he's gonna. I think he's gonna be fine. He's been out for about 2 weeks. I think he feels like he's ready. He's gonna talk to us on Wednesday before the opener, and I think they just want to be careful. He didn't need to play last night, so why put him out there in the event he could fall, re-aggravate the bruise, and cause more problems? So hopefully he'll be out there Thursday night and ready to go. But I like that lineup when you throw him out there with the rest of that starting group.
Yeah, Tom, is there a player that maybe people that you know or your message boards are overlooking? I'm sitting there, I watched the entire game yesterday, I'm trying to figure out who that might be. Kreener finished the season real well, Tom. What was it, 3 out of the last 4 games or 3 out of the last 5 or something like that. Was watching Meshon Daly. He looks smooth and has a little bit of a swagger, but is he too cool for the defensive end? Is there anybody that you look at and go, wow, I mean, maybe we're overlooking this guy?
I think it's probably Meshi right now. He is, he wants to be good. He's added strength, upper body strength that he's really needed. He's playing with a lot of confidence. He wants to be a defensive stopper. Now he's got to go out and do that. But, you know, a team that struggled to play defense, anybody who wants to go out there and play defense is probably welcomed.
Yeah.
So I think he's probably the guy that if you're looking at the bench guys that you don't know a whole lot about, you know, I think we know a lot about Bear. We know a lot about Pemsel. I think Daly might be the guy just because he can also guard multiple positions. He can guard point guards to wing forward. So he gives them some position versatility as well.
Tom, go get that 2-point card laminated. We will talk to you again tomorrow on the Hawkeye Huddle. Thanks for your time.
I just love that you fell for that and that you thought it was real.
I love it too. Sometimes,
completely forgot that Bielema did that.
I know, I did. You got me. But, you know, you've said so many ridiculous things in our conversations over the last 14 years that it wouldn't have surprised me.
All right. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Love
Thanks
you, buddy.
Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Tom. Okay.
Tom Caker, HawkeyeReport.com. Always, I just realized Tom and I have been going back and forth for 14 years now.
Wow.
It's been a long, long time and fun conversations, a lot of arguments.
Well, you asked me during the break. Sometimes you'll ask me when we're arguing or something about something, and you're like, was I too pissy or was I too,
I'm so tired today that I'm more pissy than I normally am.
Yeah, because you're not feeling well. You told me
I'm a little
fine.
Under the weather. I'm tired.
So maybe I should ask you, am I peeing you off and you're not feeling well? That's kind of rude of me.
I'll yell at you a little bit more. You know, a guy that I've never yelled at is Alex Halstead from Cyclone Alert.
Let's change that. Let's go to commercial and let's yell at him when he comes back.
Well, we got a lot of positives to talk about here. There's not many negatives to talk about right now. In Ames, this Iowa State football team, and in fact, I had during the break with Ken Miller. If you miss it during the day, 11-1, Ken and I are on. We were talking about the Alabama-LSU game. He was just so hopeful it was going to be a good game. We were kind of talking about it. And I told him this, and he said, I don't even want to talk about that on air because you're being so ridiculous. I think Iowa State would beat LSU right now. Iowa State would beat the Louisiana State Tigers. Neutral field, play it in St. Louis, Saturday. I think Iowa State wins that football game.
I don't think you're crazy. So he thought it was just a crazy talk.
Yes.
Oh, it's not crazy talk.
Not at all.
No, it's absolutely not crazy talk.
I don't know how many teams I'd pick right now to beat Iowa State, but I don't think that number is double digits right now.
So if you kind of think that LSU, I think Oklahoma's better than LSU. Iowa State lost by 10. Okay?
Yeah, Oklahoma's
obviously. Do this. You hate when I do this, but that's how you do it. You kind of connect dots and you see how, well, this team plays a certain way. I know you probably hate when I do this. I hate when other people do it, so I'm doing it.
Well, don't do it then. Do this. Take this. Ready?
So they can't pass, right? LSU cannot pass. They never have a quarterback, ever.
Right.
So, but they have a good defense.
This is what I'm getting. All right.
Okay, go at it. I don't think you're crazy.
If Iowa State plays LSU, I'd pick Iowa State. If Iowa State plays Washington State, I'd pick Iowa State. If Iowa State plays Central Florida, I pick Iowa State. They play Kentucky, I take Iowa State. They play Syracuse, Utah State, Texas, Fresno, Boston College, Mississippi State. I just named teams 9 through 20.
And let me tell you what's going to happen here in a couple weeks. When Iowa State plays Texas, and you take Texas, I'm going to call you out on it. Because you just mentioned Texas, now you're going to have to prove it. Who are you taking? What's the point spread going to be, Trent Connor?
We're exclusively an Iowa State fanboy show now. Here we go. Alex Halstead joins us next. It's The Drive on 1700.
Wake up with the all-new morning show on 1700, The Champ, Taz, and the Moose. Every weekday morning from 5 to 8, real sports talk for real sports fans. 1700, The Champ, with Central Iowa's most accurate forecast from Local 5.
Our forecast for tonight, showers will be moving out. It's going to be cloudy, cold, and breezy, low near 37. And for Election Tuesday, looking partly cloudy, cool, and kind of windy. Temperature near 48 for the high. I'm Local 5 Chief Meteorologist Brad Edwards.
This report is sponsored by the Exogen Temporal Scanner Thermometer. Ready for a bad cold and flu season? Knowing when it's the flu can make a big difference in knowing when to call your doctor. The best way to tell is that the flu brings a fever, so be prepared with a thermometer you can trust. The Exogen Temporal Scanner, backed by more than 70 clinical studies.
Touchdown!
Don't miss out on tailgates and touchdowns because your car's broke down. Instead, call an audible by calling Absolute Auto Repair, where we offer free loaner cars while yours is in the shop. At Absolute Auto Repair in Herbdale, we get that when your car breaks down, your life is interrupted. That's why we offer loaner cars to keep your busy life moving. Absolute Auto Repair in Herbdale on Hickman Road near Cobblestone Theater. Google Absolute Auto Repair Herbdale. Absolute Auto Repair is a proud supporter of high school football.
Touchdown, Absolute Auto Repair.
Everyone is a champion in their own way, but aches and pains can make you want to give up on your training or workouts. Instead of relying on pain medication to power through, stay active with help from Champions Recovery Room and physical therapy. They give you a personal touch to work towards your own wellness goals. With athletic recovery programs to outpatient orthopedic therapy, Angela Spencer PT of Champions Recovery Room will get you feeling your best. Champions Recovery Room and physical therapy, 3030 100 Street in Urbandale, and online at championsrecoveryroom.com.
Dig out those festive sweaters, gather your family, kids, and pets, because it's time for the ARL Santa and Paws holiday photos. Santa will even be making an appearance. By having your photos taken, you'll be supporting the homeless pets at the ARL and will end up with great photos for your holiday cards this year. Multiple dates, times, and locations are available during November, so schedule your time now at arl-iowa.org/Santa.
Guys, are you ready to begin your journey to live life better? Are you feeling tired and worn down, or looking to improve performance and drive in the bedroom? Looking to burn fat and gain muscle? Then it's time to contact New Leaf Wellness. New Leaf Wellness offers a free, no-obligation consultation. Dr. Robert Seaman and the New Leaf staff will help craft a plan dedicated to you. From testosterone replacement therapy, advanced weight loss, to nutritional therapy, New Leaf Wellness strives to find the plan that will improve your quality of life. Dr. Robert Seaman and New Leaf Wellness. Give them a call today at 515-650-1358. Again, 515-650-1358. 515-650-1358 for New Leaf Wellness. One more time, 515-650-1358. It's time to live life better with New Leaf Wellness. Call 515-650-1358. That's 515-650-1358.
Build your business. At Signorama of Urbandale, we offer customized solutions for signs, branding, marketing, and advertising. We have a full range of custom sign and graphic services to meet your needs, build your brand, and create your image. Look around and you'll see how Andy Woodley and his staff help businesses enhance visibility and get noticed. Let us work with you to understand your unique marketing goals and help you reach them. Signorama of Urbandale, the way to grow your business. 3368 100th Street in Urbandale and online at signorama.com/IA. Urbandale.
The Rookie is Central Iowa's leader in sports cards, collectibles, supplies, and memorabilia. The Rookie has a large selection of vintage and modern-day sports cards from brands such as Topps, Upper Deck, and Panini. Whether you're starting a new collection or building your own, The Rookie has all your needs from football, basketball, baseball, hockey, UFC, and more. It's time to collect. Stop by The Rookie, 9992 Swanson Boulevard, right across from the Willis Auto Campus, and online at TheRookieSportsCards.com.
You're invited to experience great customer service and incredible deals at Billion Buick GMC in Clive. Our reviews say it all.
I didn't feel pressured. It was a very smooth process.
Our salesman came in on his day off. Now that's going above and beyond.
People also appreciate the huge inventory, including the incredible all-new 2019 GMC Sierra. You're invited to Billion Buick GMC in Clive or BillionAuto.com/GMC. We are professional grade.
The Drive with Wolfgang and Trent Condon. Real sports talk for real sports fans. 1700 The Champ.
Back with you here Monday afternoon as we get you home. Time to now take our deep dive into Iowa State. We did it earlier with Tom Cakert on the Hawkeyes. Dylan Montz joins us from CycloneAlert.com as we take a look at, not Dylan Montz, Alex Halstead. Hey, what's happening, Alex? Your book partner. Threw me for a loop there. What's happening?
Yeah, not too much. Yeah, I think I saw you tweeted out earlier he was on your other show. So
he was.
Easy mix-up with all of us Cyclone Media.
I know. I get you guys confused. Well, you're certainly the better looking of the two. So you got that going for you, Alex. And we'll throw a little shade Montz's way. Hey, let's get into what we saw down there on Saturday. A very workmanlike effort. You know, the play by Akeem Butler is going to be shown on highlight reels for years and years to come. But did what you're supposed to. To me, the biggest takeaway, this is what good football teams are supposed to do. You go down there, you dominate the football game, you get the win, and you get out.
Yeah, that kind of seems to be the case, and I think especially the first half. You know, they go into the half at 20-3, and then I think the second half is kind of where maybe some of the players and Matt Campbell, not to say they were not happy with the game, it's harder for them to complain when you win by 24 and are still able to cover an 18-point line, but I think there were some things that maybe just they wanted to finish a couple different things in that second half. So they were really happy with the first half. Like you said, dominated it 20-3, but they only come away with 7 points in the second half. There was a drive that they get to the 8-yard line, but it gets called back from a holding. Then they get sacked and they miss a 49-yard field goal. I think if they punch in another touchdown, they'd feel really good about that game. But overall, like you said, it's the type of game where you go in, they allow 3 points, they clicked really well offensively at times. And like you said, they advanced to now Baylor with their fourth straight win.
Yeah, we're with Alex Halstead. Alex, looked like a complete idiot on Twitter, which is fairly normal for me. But I love Butler, and he had kind of dropped a pass early in the game. And I said, you know, he makes unbelievable out-of-this-world plays, but he needs to be more consistent with catching the ball. And then, of course, five minutes later, he makes two of the most unbelievable catches I've ever seen in my life. Is he leaving this year? Do you have any insight into that?
Well, the first part of your thing, I think that's kind of the thought from a lot of Iowa State fans is, man, this guy will make the most incredible catches at times, and then there's times where he just suffers from some drops. And that was the case last week, not this Kansas game, but the week before against Texas Tech. There were a couple where he just drops the ball, and then he makes some crazy catches. And we've kind of seen that from him. That's kind of the consistency thing. And that's what leads to the second part of your question there is, will he leave this year? And it's kind of in the same boat as Lazard in that sense. He shows the ability, and he's got more of a big playmaker ability than Lazard did, but he still has to show some more consistency. I think his drop rate's a little bit too high still. But it's going to be a question he has to explore, especially if he continues to play the way he has in the last four games. I think since Brock Purdy switched to quarterback, he's averaging something like 120 receiving yards a game. He's had 100-plus receiving yards in four straight games. I think if he keeps playing like this, maybe it becomes more of a question. But there is some thought that maybe he would return for a senior season and try to work on some of that consistency, because you're in the NFL, receivers have to be a little bit more sure-handed, and I don't think you get a whole lot of time to prove yourself.
Anybody else that could be that's going to take a look at the draft? Of course, going back to last year, you know, there was a lot of conversation about it. Anybody else that at the very least is going to put their name in there and see what the NFL people kind of send back to them?
Yeah, obviously we for sure know, you know, David Montgomery, and he might do a little bit more than just put his name in. We'll find out what he does there. I think he is one kid that's interesting enough where I think he'll go to the NFL. I think he probably should, because running backs, one little injury can really derail your career. But he's an interesting kid, and it wouldn't shock me if he came back. But I think he probably will go and probably should go. The other name that sometimes people ask me about is Ray Lima. You know, when you look at him, he's a little bit older JUCO that came in. He's played really well. But I've never really heard that he's going to explore it, but I think he's a kid that you look at, like I said, would be a redshirt senior next year. If he did come back, maybe he's old enough and far enough along in his career where he at least maybe get some feedback and see what teams think of him.
Yeah, we're with Alex Halstead. Alex, one-third of the season left, and I was reading a tweet that you had, and this isn't any cyclone homerism or anything like that. I mean, you're looking up some analytics sites, probabilities, odds that Iowa State's going to – this is no joke anymore, is it?
Yeah, I mean, right now, when you look at the rest of their schedule, I don't want to say an easier Big 12 schedule, because you still got to go to Austin and Texas. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you look at Baylor this weekend, I think most win probabilities have that around 78 to 82 win probability for Iowa State at home. The K-State game's at home, and they've really struggled with that one's around 80 to 85%. I mean, this is an Iowa State program that their conference, the most conference games they've won in a season is five, and they matched that last year. They could win their fifth this weekend and have six or seven at play then in those next 2 weeks, which is obviously unheard of in Iowa State history. And I think, you know, that Texas game is really starting to get interesting. If Iowa State can take care of Baylor and Kansas State, the Big 12 championship is at least realistic in terms of, you know, that Texas game, most computer models at least, seem to think that's a 50-50 type toss-up, especially depending what Texas does, you know, this weekend in Lubbock against Texas Tech. So I still think Iowa State faces a little bit of an uphill climb going to Austin, but I think their defense maybe gives them a chance in that game still.
Tell us on the injury front what you have there, and, of course, injury from redshirt freshman Detrone Young. He went down with that one with the shoulder injury. What else as you look at this team and how they're banged up at this point?
Yeah, so Detrone Young's really their second big injury in as many weeks. You know, obviously they lost Enyuwasrike in the Texas Tech game, a hamstring injury that he's out for the rest of the regular season at least. If they go to a bowl game, you know, maybe he's back for that, but that's right about the 8-week mark. So I think he's probably done for the season. Detrone Young then, you know, it looked like he dislocated his shoulder on Saturday, the way they took him off the field and were holding his shoulder up the entire way to the locker room. Campbell just called it a shoulder injury. He said he was out at practice yesterday, at least walking around. He said he's questionable against Baylor, but I have to think he won't play, but we'll see. I mean, that is an injury that hurts a little bit more than maybe it did early in the season, just because this is a guy that's now started the last 3 weeks as a redshirt freshman, arguably maybe their second or third best corner. And so they'll have to shuffle some things around, probably move DeAndre Payne back to cornerback and maybe put Lawrence White back at safety. But that's an injury that shouldn't be season-ending, but maybe a week or two here. And those are really the big ones. You look at Chase Allen, he's now played the last two games, at least in some capacity. He hadn't played against since the Oklahoma game because of a groin injury, but he's been back. So mostly healthy, but now two straight weeks where they've lost starting defenders, one for probably the season and one for maybe a few weeks.
Yeah, Alex, any idea how this season might be helping Iowa State in terms of recruiting interest from higher-rated players? Do you any feel for that?
So far, it's kind of hard to tell because Iowa State's got 20 commits in 2019, and there hasn't been a whole lot of traction on necessarily new guys as much as I think the efforts are maybe helping keep this class together, one, and I think, two, helping them with some of the kids they were in on. But I think that's going to be an interesting question that really pertains to 2020 recruiting, because they're going to probably start shifting to that here pretty quickly, probably December or January. They're going to be shifting to 2020. And when you talk to some kids, that's the class where really where they're now going after some higher-rated kids early, and some of those kids are intrigued by Iowa State and what Campbell has done. I'm sure the questions will still continue to come up about his future. That's a question he said he's really dealt with since he was at Toledo. You know, schools maybe negatively recruit to that. But I think it's probably going to help them more positively than negatively. And it's going to be interesting to see, I think, especially in January, some of these 2020 kids, how interested they are, because they're already in on some kids that are probably, you know, top 300 type players.
Basketball gets going this week officially. Tomorrow night it'll be Alabama State, and then on Friday night it'll be Missouri coming to town. Early look at the Cyclones here. No exhibition game. It was just those secret scrimmages. So what are you going to be looking for tomorrow night, Alex?
Well, I think the first thing is Cameron Bard, and I think it's probably more of a thing we're not going to be looking for. I think he's probably going to be on the bench for the game. Chrome said he won't address it until after the game, but all signs are that Bard won't play at least the opener. I could see him being back Friday against Missouri, but we'll find out tomorrow night exactly how long Prohm's going to sit him. Again, this stems from pre-summer wellness center, Prohm said, so nothing new. It's just he feels like something's got to be done from before he left this the program for a little bit this summer. But I think the interesting thing is just going to be what these lineups look like. I think they're going to start, you know, four guards and then Michael Jacobson at the five. And that's what this team's going to be, is a lot of small ball. And I think, you know, we kind of know what it's going to look like. I was actually just writing this before I came on, that Prohm thinks in a lot of ways this team resembles 2016-17. He's not saying that this is what that team's going to be, but that team would played a lot of small ball with Deontay Burton playing the five. They got better defensively. I think they finished offensive efficiency number 11 in the country and defensive number 42 in the country. He said that's kind of the type of team he's aiming for with this team, where they're playing small, but they can still defend, maybe have to be guard-heavy rebounding. So that's the most interesting thing, is I think just how those pieces fit together. And I think, of course, everybody else wants to see, you know, what does true freshman Taven Horton-Tucker really look like.
There it is, Alex Halstead joining us, CycloneAlert.com. Thank you for your time today, Alex.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Thanks, Alex.
We'll get the break here. Good stuff out of Alex, as always. Check it out, CycloneAlert.com, part of 24/7 Sports. Hour in the book, one more to go on 1700 The Champ.
Every Chiefs football game right here.
Terminate this football game.
The Chiefs radio network lives on 1700.
Let's go, champ!
The Champ.
It's green, moron.
Come on, move it, you clowns.
1700 The Champ. Right now, traffic.
Right now, we still have that stalled vehicle on I-235 going westbound at Valley West Drive. But currently, that's our only issue out there. Other things seem to be moving pretty smooth so far this afternoon. Drive safe, Des Moines, and have a great evening.
From a massive cactus falling on a home to a deer dancing on a car's hood, we've covered it. Talk to farmers. We know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Underwritten by Farmers Truck Fire Insurance Exchanges and Affiliates. Products not available in every state.
Are you interested in starting a new franchise? You can find a lawyer right here in the state of Iowa to help with your franchise law needs. Rush Niggin with Brick Gentry Law PC provides law services for those involved in starting a new franchise. Find more information online at rushonbusiness.com, where Rush Niggin can assist you in buying or starting a new franchise. A presenting sponsor of the 2018 high school football season on 1700 KBGG. Brick Gentry Law PC and Rush Niggin.
At Wolf Construction, we do many large construction projects across the Midwest, but we started as a roofing company, and we're still a roofing company today. At Wolf Construction, we don't just show up with a dumpster and trailer in your driveway. We arrive with a business card in hand, ready to take care of your home. Whether it's a simple roof repair, a complete re-roofing project, or a new construction project, Wolf Construction can handle the job. Call Wolf Construction at 515-225-8866 or visit us on the web at wolfconstruction.net. We're a roofing machine.
Thinking about selling your home soon? Listen up, as this will save you big money. Charterhouse Real Estate is a full-service real estate firm that has eliminated the typical 6 or 7% commission structure that you are used to. We charge sellers $24.95 plus 3%. We know, math stinks, so think about it like this. If you are selling a $200,000 house, you would save roughly $3,500 with us versus a 6% commission. If your home is $400,000, the savings would be $9,500. The best part, you get the savings while still getting all the service. Professional photography, a short 3-month contract, social media marketing, sign and lockbox, all major real estate websites, and of course, your home will be on the MLS as well. Get it all and save money. We like the sound of that. Learn more at charterhouseiowa.com or search for us on Google. And while you're there, make sure to check out our hundreds of 5-star reviews. That's charterhouseiowa.com.
Charterhouse Real Estate is a team office under Space Assembly.
Vehicle advertising print wraps can be seen tens of thousands of times a day. If you want to increase your advertising footprint with the full or partial vinyl print wrap on your business vehicle, go to CompleteAutoWraps.com. Complete Auto Wraps also specializes in full color change color wraps. Change the color of your vehicle or add a customized look with a print wrap to your vehicle, motorcycle, or boat. Don't pay big dealership or national sign chain prices when you can get yours installed by a professional trained and certified installer. Contact Corby for more information or a free estimate at CompleteAutoWraps.com.
When you choose Ankeny Towing for your 24-hour towing and roadside assistance needs, you'll get the fast service you need from their courteous and reliable team. From towing for cars and motorcycles to accident recovery, jump starts, lockouts, fuel delivery, tire changes, and more, you'll get superior service from Ankeny Towing. Ankeny Towing is the preferred towing provider for most insurance companies. They're on call 24/7. Program 515-964-9816 into your phone now for Ankeny Towing. That's 515-964-9816. Ankeny Towing, your reliable towing.
Showplace Kitchens is changing our name to Showplace Cabinetry Design Center. What hasn't changed is the commitment of our professional design staff to help you create a showplace of your very own. Come see us at 3200 100th Street, Urbandale.
We used to always argue about data.
She's always like, don't stream so many videos.
Now, thanks to Total Wireless, we get 50% more data. So, no more arguments.
About data, at least.
Hey.
Bring your number to Total Wireless right now and get 50% more data. That means a family of four can get over 37 gigs of shared 4G LTE data for $25 per line per month. Total Wireless. Total confidence. Ends January 2nd, 2019. Plans with data only. Excludes ports from TracFone Wireless Inc. brands. Terms at TotalWireless.com.
Napa know-how.
Right now, Napa has 5-quart jugs of Pennzoil or Valvoline full synthetic motor oil for $23.99. That's one heck of a deal for all-weather engine protection. So whether you're driving in Phoenix, Arizona, Duluth, Minnesota, or down the street to the grocery store, the right oil for your ride is just $23.99. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
General States pricing. Sales prices do not include applicable state, local taxes, or recycling fees. Offer ends 12/31/18.
This year, it's our year. The year we win it all. This is the year the flag flies. For wins. For big games. For titles. This is the year you fly the colors of your favorite team.
These colors? These colors mean everything.
And you'll find those colors at Heartland Flagpoles and Flags.
1700, the champ, your home for live play-by-play action of high school.